You have your Bibles, open them with me to Exodus chapter 12. I was on my way up here this week, and Shirley and I was yesterday, and I said, I don't know how many times, it's impossible. Count how many times I come up this road to come up here to this meeting, come up here to a conference for so many years. And they first started out in this New Year's weekend, wasn't it? And boy, it'd be so cold. That wind come across this hill, and then it moved to September, and that's a lot better over Labor Day, because it winter conferences, oh, they were so cold. But I'm very, very thankful to be able to be here, and I hope the Lord will make me a blessing to all of you. I start reading here in Exodus 12, and I want to talk about eating the Passover. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and shall strike it on the two side posts and upper door post of the houses wherein shall they eat. And they shall eat the flesh, and that night roast with fire, unleavened bread with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with the legs and with the pertness thereof, and you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it into the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. We just sang that song, Power in the Blood, Power in the Blood. And God said here that when he sees the blood, he'll pass over us. But I want to talk about the eating of the Passover. It says there in verse 8, and they shall eat of the flesh of that night, the eating of the Passover. Now it's the blood. It's the blood that cleanses us from sin. It's the blood alone that God has been pleased. Takes red blood, takes black sinners, and washes them white as snow. Makes them acceptable before God. And when God sees that blood, God will not, cannot, must not ever punish us again, because he punished us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the blood is our place of safety. Blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is our salvation. The token that God give to us is that God has been satisfied by the death and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and will accept and receive all where the blood has been applied. You know, he talked about the sprinkling of the blood. We come under the sprinkling of the blood. And that, to me, I'm telling you what it means to me, that when God brings us to the Lord Jesus Christ, he takes the blood by the Holy Spirit, and he sprinkles it on us by the Holy Spirit. And that's how we know our sins is gone. He sprinkles that blood, and our conscience is quiet, our conscience is clean, our mind is satisfied, everything about us. When he sprinkles that blood by the Holy Spirit on our conscience, then they're sprinkled and they're clean forevermore. But it's not only that, the blood, but it's the eating the lamb. The lamb taken and eating, that's how we come in fellowship, in communion with God. Our Lord said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. no part in me. And it's taking Christ by faith and eating him, like we're going to do this morning. We eat. He's that heavenly manna that came down. It's his blood that made atonement for our sin. And so when we come to Christ by faith, and when we sit in these services like this, we eat the Lamb of God, eat that precious, precious manna, and enjoy the fellowship of our Lord Jesus Christ. It nourishes our mind. It washes our souls and blesses our souls. It strengthens our heart and encourages us. And this is what's so blessed about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's sufficient. He's sufficient for the whole man, not just part of it, for all of us. He meets every part and every need we have in this world right now because as we take him by faith. And now it says here in verse 3, he says, you know, take a lamb according to your house. A lamb according to a house. That means a lamb for us and for our children, for our family. You know, and a house represents the people, it represents the people in a home. And he says, you take a lamb for every house. And if there's not enough in your house, you just get your neighbors and you all come together. Well, you got enough to eat. Well, we've come together today, neighbors, blessed people of God, to eat the Lamb of God. And as we all have a lamb, and then it's got to be, says in verse 5, it has to be without blemish. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Where are you going to find a lamb without blemish? Oh, listen. I tell you, without spot or blemish, we're justified. We're washed from our blood, washed from our sins by the lamb, without spot or without blemish. And it has to be a male of the first year. And I mean that means it's when it's strength, it's when it's vigor, and when it's glorious in its power. It has to be in its prime, it's in its strength. And our Lord Jesus Christ was in his prime and in his strength. He is the one that came into this world with all the strength and might of Almighty God. And I tell you, he was in his prime. And do you know what strength it took for our Lord Jesus Christ to go to the cross? Do you know what strength it took for him to do that? And every word he spoke from that cross was a word that was already given in the Old Testament. And he stayed in complete control of everything that was going on that day on that cross. You know the strength it took for him to do that? As a man, every word he spoke, and the first word he spoke was this, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. Oh, he had strength. He had power. In fact, he never even died until he said, Lord, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Oh, he has strength. And I'll tell you what, I'll tell you how much else of the strength he has. He has the strength to carry all his children at one time in this world in his own shoulders, on his shoulder at any time. Now, all of us here are different. We all got different personalities, but every one of us have a need of Christ. I hope we do. And our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, he's got the government on one shoulder and he's got his people on the other. And bless his holy name. He'll never let us down until he lets us down in glory. And you know what? I need him to carry me. I need him to carry me. And then look what he says down here in verse 6. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day. And why do they keep it up for 14 days? To examine it. To watch over it. To make sure it don't have any blemishes. To make sure it's not. And then, you know, and then he says this there in verse 6. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in these. There was many, many lambs. But the lamb was for the whole assembly. God counted it as just one lamb. Every family had a lamb, but God said the whole assembly, all of them get the benefit of that lamb slain. And they all done it at the same time. But oh my, they were viewed as one and for one people. So let's look at how they ate the Passover. Look down here in verse 8 with me. I believe that's where I want to go. And that night, and they shall eat the flesh that night. And here's the first thing they got to do with when they eat the. Now he's talking about the lamb already been roasted, the lamb been slain. And then look what it says: they shall eat the flesh that night, roast with fire. Roast with fire. What does that mean? Well, fire in the scriptures is always emblematic of judgment. You know, they had the brazen altar, and the fire consumed the sacrifice. And fire always represents the judgment of God, emblematic of judgment. God, he says, is a consuming fire. And so when we take Christ, the food for our hearts is having suffered for us. Now what I mean by that is that when our Lord Jesus Christ was on that cross, the fire of God's wrath came down on him. You read it this morning. He will not at all acquit the wicked. He will not acquit us. We've suffered for our sins. Where did we suffer? Christ on the cross, bearing the wrath of God, bearing the justice of God, bearing the punishment of God. Not for himself, but for somebody else. And I tell you, when our Lord Jesus Christ suffered, bless his holy name, he passed through the fire of God's wrath. And I tell you what, then he was the one despised and rejected. And when they would have let him go, they said, no, crucify him. And our Lord Jesus Christ, when he said, I thirst, he just said that to fulfill the scriptures. And we see him there on the cross as God's wrath is poured out upon him. And he took it down to the very dregs. Now you keep Exodus 12 and look with me over here in Isaiah 63. This is an amazing verse of scripture to me. This is such a blessing to me. But Isaiah 63, I look at this all the time. Have our congregation look at it all the time. And I tell you, if I've ever preached anything they ain't heard before, I don't know who it'd be. You've been down there, it'll be 43 years next March. Me and Don and Tim James all started within 2 months of one another. But look at this. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This is that glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Who's he? Who's this speaking now? The Lord Jesus Christ. They ask him, where do you get red? Where'd you get all that red in your garment, in your apparel? Like him that treadeth in the wine vat. He said, I tread in the wine press alone. And of the people there was none with me. Christ didn't need any help from anybody. He still don't need no help from anybody. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury. And their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will strain all my garments. Now this is what happened when he is on the cross. Whose blood was it there? It was for his blood shed for us, stained his garments red for us. And listen to this, for the day of my vengeance is in my heart. And all bless you. So listen to this. And the year of my redeemed is come. Time for the Lord to redeem his people. And he said, and I looked, nobody to help. I wonder if there's none to uphold me. And listen to this now. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation unto me. My own arm brought salvation. Oh, he tread the wine press alone. And the only object of true faith is the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's not the cross that saves. It was who's on that cross. It's not the amount of blood that was shed. It was whose blood that was shed. And I tell you, he was the one bearing our wrath. God will never, I've never once thought after I've heard the gospel that God would ever, ever punish me for anything that I've ever done. And I mean, I may live to be 80 or 90 years old. And there's so many sins that we commit that we're not even conscious of. And if Christ did not bear the wrath of God for all of our sins, known and unknown, then, beloved, we are in trouble. But he bore all my sins from the day I was born till the day I leave this world in his own body on that tree. Amen. Huh? Oh, my. And they ate that lamb roast with fire. And that means we look to him as the one who suffered, bore our sins in his own body on that tree. And look at the next thing it says about, we eat it roast with fire. I mean, we take Christ as one who suffered for us. Suffered for us. He suffered the wrath of God for us. He endured the fire for us. Look what else it says now down here in verse 9. Eat not of it raw. Don't eat it raw. What in the world is he talking about? Don't eat it raw. That means that people want Christ without his cross. That's what that's talking about. Huh? You can never separate the Lord Jesus from his atonement. It must be roasted. And that's what so many people, that's what's so awful. I showed Shirley a thing in the paper this morning. How's a pastor of a church dressed up as a drag queen. I mean, he had the lipstick on, the big blonde wig, and big old long fingernails and all that. Now, do you reckon they know anything about Christ roast with fire? That they're eating Christ raw. Raw. You know, people want a personal Savior, but they want him without his cross. They want him without his sufferings. They want to accept Jesus on their terms. On their rights, on their works, on their merit. And they want him raw. They don't want nothing to hear about somebody bearing their sin. They don't even want sin mentioned. But I tell you, you keep this and look with me in Matthew 16. Matthew 16. You want to see somebody that, just what I'm talking about here. In Matthew 16. You know, this is where Peter says, you thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And oh, our Lord said, oh, you're Peter, and upon this rock I'm going to build my church, going to give you the keys of the kingdom. Then look what happens next. In verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Now watch it. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Can you imagine somebody trying to rebuking the Lord? That's what it says, rebuked him. And what did he say? What did he say? Lord, now you listen to what I'm telling you. That's not going to happen to you. That's not going to happen. I don't want that to happen to you. And we don't want that to happen to you. And it's not going to happen to you. So don't let this happen. But what did our Lord do? He turned around and said, you get behind me, devil. You think Satan can't use one of God's children? Yes, he can. And look what he said. Get behind me, Satan. You are offense to me because you love the taste of the things that's not of God. You love the taste of the things of the flesh, but those that be of men. And that's what people want. That's what Simon Peter wanted. He wanted Christ without his cross. He didn't want Christ to suffer. And that's what it means to don't eat him raw. You got to take him like he was roast with fire. They don't mind having Jesus as a prophet. They don't mind having Jesus as a great teacher. They don't mind having him as a wonderful Savior. And they don't mind having him as somebody that loves them. They don't mind having him as somebody that would love to save them if they'd let him. They don't mind him being a social worker. They don't mind him being a healer. They don't mind him being the answer to your marriage problems. But I tell you what, that's not eating the law raw. That's to eat the lamb raw. But don't dare approach God without Christ being roast under God's wrath, because God will reject you, will not speak to you, or will not look in your direction unless Christ is one you come to that's been roast with fire. Because in Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, is the wisdom of God. Shows how wise God is to provide a way to save His people without themselves ever suffering. How to put their sins away without them doing anything about it. And He's the power of God by which He comes and makes it effectual in our hearts and in our lives. Huh? And then here's another thing about it. Eat it roast with fire. Don't eat it raw. Don't eat it raw. And here's the next thing back over here in Exodus 12. And eat it not raw there in verse 9, nor sodden it all with water. Don't water it down. That's what that means. Don't water it down. Don't let the atonement of Christ be watered down. You know, it's a fact. It's a fact that, you know, this idea, you know, when our Lord Jesus, He says, you know, don't eat it sodden with water. Don't water it down. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He made it so plain, so clear. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. And this lamb was for a particular people. It was only for Israel. Nobody else but Israel. And the death of our Lord Jesus Christ was for nobody else but His elect. For those that were given to Him in an eternal covenant of grace. The lamb was for Israel, particular people. And our Lord Jesus Christ died for a particular people. His blood was shed for a particular people. He said, thou shalt, you know, when the angel told Mary she's going to have a baby, going to have an infant, going to have a child. And this is the time of year when you talk about Him watered down, the atonement watered down. Right up the road from where we are, there's a great, big, huge Baptist church. It cost millions of dollars to build. And they built them a shack out front. And they're going to have a man and a woman and a real baby and a real lamb. And they're going to have all that stuff right out front so everybody can drive by and see it. They want Jesus. They water Him down. Keep Him in a manger. Water Him down. Keep Him in the grave. But oh my, our Lord Jesus, that angel told Mary, said, what am I going to call Him? Call Him Jesus. His name will be called Jesus, and He shall save His people from their sins. And I tell you, we're not going to water it down. All that the Father gives me, what's going to happen to them? They all going to come to me. And this is what's so blessed. You know, everybody quotes that part of it. But this is a part I love more than any part of that verse. That He'll in no wise cast us out. You know, to think about all the things we think, all the things we've done, all the places we went, all the ways we've acted so un-Christ-like, so fleshly, so carnal, so sinful. And there's nothing we'll say, nothing we'll do, no place we'll go, anything we ever say that'll make Christ say, get away from me. He'll never do it. Never do it. There's nothing they'll ever say, nothing they'll ever do. If you know with Simon Peter 93 times? Get away from me. When David was in the arm of Bathsheba, don't you ever come to me again. No. Not one thing will make Christ ever separate us from His people. Never. Never. That's the most comforting thing to me in this world. I'll tell you what, if anybody be cast out, I've done enough for all of us to be cast out. But he'll never, ever cast any of us out. Uh-huh. That's what he told his disciples, you know. These people came to him and said, if you be the Christ, tell us plainly. Tell us plainly. He said, I've told you. But you don't believe. Why don't you believe? Because you're not my sheep. You're not my sheep. You know, our Lord Jesus said, except ye eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in you. And he went on to say, I'm that true manna which came down from heaven. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. But he said, he that eateth me, he shall never die. Believest thou this? And the scripture says at that time, many walked away from him and said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? I can hear it. Can't you? I can hear it. He ain't never said nothing too hard for us. Listen. People say, boy, I just don't hardly believe that. My sheep hear my voice. I know this. If Christ suffered for you, if Christ is your Passover, you do eat his flesh. You do drink his blood. And if he did this for the world would be saved. But I do know this, that there's people that's never heard the gospel yet, that Christ died for, that Christ's blood put away their sin, and one of these days God will cross their path with the gospel. And when that happens, they'll believe. They'll hear his voice. They'll hear his voice. And I tell you, then not only that, eat it roast with fire. Don't water it down. Don't eat it raw. But look what else it says here. You know, let me say this before I move on. Our Lord Jesus said, thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to those that thou hast given him. He said, I pray not for the world. I don't pray for the world. I pray for them that you gave me out of the world. And then he said, look here in verse 11. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And listen to this, eat it in haste. Eat it in haste. What does that tell? Take Christ right now. Believe Christ right now. Right this moment. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Don't think about it. Don't consider it. Don't twiddle your thumbs. Come to Christ right now. And that's something believers do continually and constantly, is coming to Christ. They have come, they are coming, and they shall come. We're always coming to Christ. And if anybody's waiting, looking for some reason why they shouldn't come to Christ, whether they should believe or not, it's because they're looking for some reason in themselves. Oh my, why would God not receive a person that come to Christ? I remember a young woman, she said, I just can't believe that Christ would have me. I just can't believe that Christ would have me. I can't believe that he wouldn't. Why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he? Are you hungry? Then Christ is our bread. Are you hungry? Christ is our life. Oh, he'll satisfy your soul, and said, eat it in haste. I mean, take it. I don't want to be ugly. I really don't. I really don't. But I don't know if they're doing it around here or not. But and you know, people are using this plague, this virus that God sent on the world, as an excuse to keep coming to services. They use it as an excuse. And I don't understand it. I don't understand, I don't get it. But I know that people that are hungry, they're going to come and eat. They're going to come and eat. And the reason people ain't coming and eating, they can use any excuse they want to, is they're not hungry. I don't care what you put on the table, as long as it ain't spam, I'll eat it. You can put it, you know, anything you put on the table but spam. I ain't gonna eat no spam. It's just lard, that's all that is, with just a little bit of color in it. And I'm not gonna eat it. But I'll tell you this, you put anything else on the table, and I'll eat it. I'm like Mikey, I'll eat anything. And I tell you what, but when people are hungry, when they have to have Christ, and if you can find an excuse for not coming to Christ, that tells me one thing, you're not hungry. You don't have a need. You don't need something for your soul. You don't need something for your heart, your mind, and your soul. I'll tell you an experience I had just recently. There's a fella that comes down to visit Doc Stone from up in Indiana. He is a school teacher and he works part-time in the summer in a park. And he's an old German, and I met him, he come down and met us one time and stayed a few days. But anyway, to make a long story short, he came down recently, and he had never been in a service where the preacher was, where the sovereign grace of God's preached. But he come to a service one Sunday morning while he was in visiting Doc. And he told me, he grabbed me immediately and said, being in this service and watching and being able to interact with you while you're preaching and see what's going on, seeing you really there and seeing you what you say, and being in the service, eating at the table, he said, that's as different as day and night. He said, that ain't even comparable. He said, watching you on Facebook and being in the service with you is two different worlds. And I tell you, that's a man that just... And that's the way I feel everybody ought to be. Everybody ought to be. Well, and now, that's my opinion. I quit preaching to tell you that. Now I'm going to go back to preaching. And then look what else it said about that in verse 10. He said, you know, and let nothing of it remain until the morning. Huh? And then he said, thus shall ye eat it. Eat all of it. Eat all of it. Let nothing of it remain. Eat all of it. What does that mean? That means we got to have a whole Christ. A whole Christ. We got to have a whole lamb. We either got to have all the lamb or none of the lamb. We got to have Christ as the whole Christ. And what in the world does that mean? That we got to have Christ for ourselves. And all Christ for ourselves. Christ is in all of his person, with all of his power, with all of his glory, with all of his attributes, with all of his strength, with all of his mercy, with all of his grace, with all of his compassion, with everything he's got. We got to have him in all of it. We can't take just a little bit of it and leave some of it off. Some people like his example, but they don't want his doctrine. Some people want his doctrine, but they don't want to listen to what he says. And then he said, nothing must be left. There's no more in Christ than sinners absolutely need. You got to have all of him. And I need Christ. Oh, how we sang that song, I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. You know, we ought to say, every moment I need thee, O Lord, every moment I need thee. I need thee every moment, O Lord. Do some of you all feel that way, that you got to have him every moment? Huh? Got to have him every moment. And I tell you, there's nothing in him that we absolutely need. If he's going to be your substitute to bear your sins in his own body, then he's also got to be your king. If he's going to be your Savior, then he also has to be your Lord. Not merely the Lord to trust, but also to obey. But he's not only our justification, but he's also our sanctification. That's why Paul said, is Christ divided? No, Christ is one. And we get all of Christ. All of us get all of him. All of him. And that's why he said, with the head, the legs, and the pertness thereof, take him all. Take him all. Huh? And then look what else it says here in verse 8. And they shall eat the flesh that night, roast with fire. And listen to this, unleavened bread. Unleavened bread. Paul told the Corinthians, he said, purge out the old leaven. Purge out the old leaven. What's the old leaven? Leaven's always been typical of sin in the Scriptures. Beware of leaven. A little leaven leaveneth the whole part. You just add just a tiny bit of leaven to the gospel and you've destroyed it. And he said, purge out the old leaven of traditions. Traditions. We had traditions for years. Oh my goodness, the traditions we had. Awful. Purge out the old leaven of works. Purge out the old leaven of merit. Purge out the old leaven of envy and malice, jealousy. Purge it out. And I tell you, leaven was a type of sin, especially hypocrisy. Especially hypocrisy. You know, our Lord Jesus told his disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And they said, is it because we forgot to bring any bread? And he says, beware of the leaven of Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. Play acting. Play acting. And I tell you, we take the Lord Jesus Christ with our heart, with our soul, and everything about him. And I tell you, and then not only do we take him, but he has to have us. He has to have all of us. You know, we got a will. We got a mind. We got emotions. We got affections. We got eyes. We got ears. We got hands. We got feet. And I got a body that moves. Voices that can speak. And our Lord Jesus Christ, he has to have all of us. He has to have our ears, our spiritual ears. Has to have our spiritual eyes so we can see him by faith. He has to have our heart. He has to have our will. He has to have our mind. We get all of him and he has to have all of us. He got to have us all. And bless his holy name, this is one thing that I tell you what, that's a grief to all of us as believers. Lord, if there's anything about me that doesn't belong to you, take it away. If I just take me like a cup, break me and put me back together, whatever you need to do, so that you get all of me. I don't want no reservation in me for Christ. Do you? No, no. And I tell you, you got to be honest here. Don't trifle with the Lord. If you want to play act, if you want to pretend, don't do it where the gospel's at. Don't do it there. Don't play act. Don't pretend there. And then look what else it says here. Oh, this is something. There in verse 8, it said, and eat it with bitter herbs. With bitter herbs. Now eat it with bitter herbs. And those bitter herbs was to enhance the taste of the lamb. Kind of like a relish you have, you know. But when it talks about the bitternesses of herbs, remember the bitterness of our bondage, our sin, and how we was held so captive by sin, and Christ come and saved us from our bondage. Saved us from our bondage of tradition. Saved us from our bondage of self. Saved us from our bondage of self-righteousness and hope in ourselves. Oh, I tell you, when he saves us out of our bondage, it makes Christ so much sweeter. Huh? And then there's the bitter herbs of repentance. Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry I said that. I'm so sorry I thought that. I'm so sorry I acted that way. Oh, my. That bitter herbs of repentance. I'm sorry of being sorry. I'm sorry for being sorry. And then there's the bitter herbs of our unworthiness. We never feel worthy. Never. Oh my. We all the bitter herbs of our unworthiness. The poorness of spirit. And I know this, and I know some of you know it by experience. There will always be bitter herbs that goes with believing. There will always be bitter herbs that goes with believing. We have our afflictions in this world. Our afflictions. We have our trials. Trials. So many trials. You know, Scott Richardson said a believer's in one of three places. He's either in a trial, coming out of a trial, or going into a trial. That's where a believer's at almost all the time. And we have our trials. A dear lady in our congregation, she lost a son when he was 18 years old. Then she lost a husband after 40-something years. She got remarried. Married about 5 or 6 years, and then she lost that husband. She's lost two husbands and a son. And only had two children to start with. She's one of the sweetest ladies you ever be around. Oh, we have some bitter trials. Them herbs are so bitter. Oh, my, our burdens and our afflictions, they get so bitter sometimes. And if it wasn't Christ, wasn't for Christ, we couldn't bear them. We couldn't eat it. We couldn't take it. We just couldn't take it. And then our sin and all these afflictions and all these trials and these bitter herbs that we have in our life will make Christ that much sweeter to us. And if you eat the lamb and the bitter herbs, the bitter herbs go with him. But who in the world cares as long as we have the lamb? As long as we have the lamb to eat and the way God provided him for us, as long as we have the lamb, that's all that matters. If God gave us nothing but sweetness all the time, well, what a sorry bunch of people we'd be, huh? But like Shelby said, he's leaning us off the world. He's weaning us off of this world. And I want to be weaned. Now, Henry Mahan used to say, don't let God have to break your arm or break your hand to make you turn loose of something in this world. Don't let him do that. Don't hold anything so tight. Let your hand be open so you don't have to break it to take something away from you. And everything we have belongs to him. And he can take it when he wants to. He can take our homes. He can take our health. He can take our lives. He can take our spouse. He can take our children. Everything we have belongs to him. He can take it when he wants to. And the only thing we can say about it is, Lord, it's you. It's you. Just give me grace. That's all I want. Grace to not dishonor you through this thing. That's all I want. And ain't that right? Ain't that way we are? And then listen to this. I'm going to hit on a high note. I'm going to quit on a high note. Look what it says there. Verse 11. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. What's that mean? Eat it with your traveling clothes on. Because this world's not our home. We're strangers and pilgrims in this world. We really, truly are. We're like Israel. We started our exodus. We started out of this world when God called us and saved us by grace. We started on a journey, and we're leaving this world. We're going on exodus out of this world, huh? And where are we going? We're doing like Abraham. He never had a foot that belonged to him. But he spent his life, Hebrews 11 says, looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. You know, and you know when he found it? When the Lord called him home. Oh my, here we have no continuing city, but we look for one to come. We're going to go be with the spirits of just men made perfect. Here we have no continued city, but we look for one to come. This world, I'm telling you, and I quit watching the news last January. What is this, December? I catch a little bit when I'm at the gym, but I tell you, I quit watching the news. You know why? Because it would just make me so. I'd be talking to the TV and talking to the commentators and I'd talk back to the television. Y'all don't do that, do you? No, you don't do that. That's why I quit watching. You know where I get my good news at? Right here in a service like this. I get my good news out of this blessed book. I get my good news out of the gospel. I get my blessed news from Christ my Lord and beloved. And the world's going to do what the world's going to do. And nothing we think about it, no way we deal with it, is it good. People ask me for years, I don't know how many times people ask me, how's the world treat you? It ain't never treated me good. Even when I was in it, it never treated me good. I'd get sick and be in the hospital for months at a time. You think I had a friend to visit me? Not one. You think I had a fellow employee that I worked with come see me? Not one. The only person ever come see me was my wife. She'd bring the kids when I was in the hospital for so many times. No, the world has never been good to me. And it's certainly, certainly not good to us. It tastes bad, don't it? Like John Newton said, if you go to the world, he said, you know, you go like what you go out into a big rain, you go with a raincoat on. And so, of course, so you're going to be out there just a few minutes and you don't want to get messed up. So you just get out there as fast as you can, get what you done and get out. And that's the way we are about the world. And I tell you what, and then look what he said. Have your loins girded about. You know what we're girded about with? We're girded about with the truth. That's what the scriptures tells us over in Ephesians 6. And then you know, and we didn't dress ourselves. We got on a robe of righteousness, perfect, pure, the very righteousness of God. And we got a helmet on. What's it called? The helmet of salvation. Oh my. Our loins girt about with the truth. And I tell you, we got a shield, and it's the shield of faith. And you talk about we're shod with the preparation of the gospel. So I tell you what, we got our staff in our hand. You know, watch our staff right there. Got my shoes on. Got my gospel shoes on. Got my robe of righteousness. I'm dressed, ready to go. And I got the truth keeping me girded in. Oh, what a gospel. What a Savior. What a Lord. Huh? What a blessed, blessed Savior. Our Father, oh, our Lord and our God, the blessed God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for allowing us to be here today to worship together, together around the gospel, together around our Lord Jesus Christ, together around enjoy the fellowship of the Spirit of God, to enjoy the fellowship with one another. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your eternal electing love. And God bless these dear saints. Lord, strengthen them, encourage them, add to them. Oh Lord, unite all of our hearts together in love for one another. And unite our hearts together, and then also unite our hearts to love the Lord Jesus Christ. And God bless. Lord, bless these dear people. Bless them, oh God. Strengthen them. Encourage them. They've been through some very deep waters. They've been through some very trying times. And Lord, we know that when the trial is, they all have their end. They're designed to do something. And Lord, enable us to kiss the hand of your providence again in this world for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you all. Thank you so much for letting me come up.